listening to In It Together, the podcast. I'm Arun Roth. Today is April 13th, 2021. Coming up, New Bedford is the country's largest commercial shipping port and has the largest collection of seafood processing plants in the U.S. This creates some unusual circumstances for the city. This past weekend, they held a vaccine clinic specifically geared towards those working in these industries. More are planned for this week, despite the pause on the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. I'll speak with New Bedford Mayor John Mitchell about all of this. But first, we start, as always, with the latest numbers from the state's Department of Public Health. The DPH is reporting roughly 1,400 new cases of the virus and 7 new deaths. This brings a total number of cases statewide to roughly 622,000 and a total number of deaths to over 17,000. The 7-day test positive rate rose today to 2.4%. With me now is John Mitchell. He's the mayor of New Bedford. Mayor Mitchell, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Arun.
So before we get into detail about how things are right now, could you give us a picture of how the pandemic has affected the city?
Yeah, I think the verdict on New Bedford is, you know, the pandemic has been tough here as it has been everywhere else, but we could have experienced it much more intensely. Really from the start of the pandemic, you know, we tried to get out ahead of developments to the greatest extent possible. Of course, you know, we were learning as we went along, as everyone else was, but we understood that New Bedford had certain vulnerabilities. We have a population that skews elderly. We have many new immigrants, and we have an industrial workforce that, you know, would inevitably be more exposed to the virus than workforces in many other American cities. And so we had to take some steps to preempt some of the problems that we could see coming. One of the things that's peculiar to New Bedford is that not only is it America's largest commercial fishing port, but it also has the largest cluster of seafood processing plants in the United States. And so being an important node in America's food supply chain, we knew that folks were going to continue to go to work and folks were going to continue to be potentially exposed. So we took a number of measures really early on to try to stem the spread of the virus in workplaces. So we put in place what were some of the strictest workplace safety rules in the country, essentially forcing people to separate out from one another in the production lines and industrial facilities, especially our seafood processing plants. You know, at the time, you know, we were very mindful of the outbreaks in meat packing facilities out in the Midwest, and we could foresee that, you know, something similar could happen here in New Bedford. And, you know, luckily, that didn't happen. We did have a fair number of clusters in seafood processing plants, but we didn't have a general outbreak like many of those cities in the Midwest. And I think what the protocols and the rules that we put in place, frankly, prevented a calamity. And with respect to the fishing industry, you know, we put some prophylactic measures in place that also were very helpful. We had a testing center right in the middle of our central waterfront that enabled fishing crews to be tested before they went out to sea. Fishermen work in very tight quarters on board while they're at sea, and thereby potentially expose one another in the time of COVID. And so what we did was we just wanted to make sure that the folks who were getting on vessels were in the clear. And so that helped as well. And so obviously those steps made New Bedford safer, but frankly, they allowed for the production of food from New Bedford to continue without any major interruption. So there are a couple of other things I would just note also. You know, we were the first city in the United States to hand out masks to any resident that wanted one very early on. I think that helped us as well.
Something else about New Bedford is that it's a very diverse community, a community that's rich with different cultures and ethnicities. And we know these communities have been hit hard by the pandemic. Is that one of the reasons why New Bedford maybe suffered more? Maybe kind of a circular logic, I don't know.
Any city in the United States whose economy is such that few folks are able to work remotely has suffered more. You know, much of America's workforce has been able to distance itself during the pandemic. But if you work on the deck of a scallop or in the middle of the North Atlantic, or if you work on the floor of a seafood processing plant, Zoom doesn't do you too much good. And, you know, in places where economies, local economies are more industrial than others, they tend to have a more diverse workforce. That to me is the causal connection. But so what we've tried to do is, you know, among other things, is, you know, to take some of the steps that I described to you before and many others, but also we made a concerted effort to promote safe practices and now vaccine acceptance among some of our underserved populations. So that means that, you know, we've obviously messaged in more languages, in many languages, not just English, but we also have, you know, a huge network of community groups and others with of influence in certain of our neighborhoods to evangelize good social distancing practices and now vaccine acceptance. And so, yeah, that's a constant effort. That's not, you know, as much as, you know, we are emerging from the pandemic nowadays, we fully realize that COVID itself will be with us for a while. We will continue as a society, and particularly in certain cities, be vaccinating people for the foreseeable future. And so, you know, we're putting into place programs and practices that will allow for more ubiquitous vaccine acceptance and safe practices until we all have our arms around this disease.
Yeah, well, let's talk about vaccination more, because I mean there certainly are echoes here of the way, you know, you had to scramble to get protocols in place so that you weren't affected the way that you were, the way that the meatpacking industry was, the land-based meat industry is. Now with vaccines, we'll talk about the fishing community maybe in detail in a moment. But how do you feel about the vaccination push right now and getting to these diverse communities who have been hit harder?
Like other places, we've been frustrated with the shortages of vaccine. And so when I say shortages, I mean both the shortage of supply, which is starting to resolve itself now, but more particularly barriers to access. You know, again, if you are, you know, somebody who speaks English, you know, is facile with a computer and can readily navigate the internet, you know, you can get an appointment and without much problem and get yourself vaccinated. But for many, many folks don't have that capacity. Parts of our city, there are folks with language barriers, there are older folks of every ethnicity who don't have their own computers, much less understand how to navigate the internet. And so, you know, we've had to take a pretty granular approach to getting them the doses they need. We've had to, in effect, do house calls in many respects. We've taken the vaccines to where people are and have made them readily available. We, for instance, fairly early on in the vaccination effort, you know, set up shop in senior living facilities all around the city. We had mobile clinics that would just go right to those facilities and get everybody inoculated who was interested in the shot. We're doing that far before a lot of other cities were doing, because we saw obviously the risk involved, but we understood that, you know, there were real access issues that we had to overcome. And those access issues aren't going away overnight. If you look at the rate of vaccination, for instance, among Hispanics in New Bedford, we're lagging not only the rest of the state, but that group is also pretty far behind the white population in the city. And so, you know, we know that some of that has to do with the fact that the Hispanic population tends to be younger and hasn't been eligible. Many haven't been eligible yet to get the vaccines. But there are real barriers there that, you know, again, we have to try extra hard to overcome. So, you know, we've had, you know, in our clinics, Spanish-speaking nurses and other volunteers to facilitate uptake. But, you know, we've worked through also the Hispanic churches in the city, again, to evangelize the safety and effectiveness of the vaccines. And, you know, those messages are ones that, like any effective messaging, have to be repeated and repeated and repeated. And I think we're making headway, but we understand that it's not an overnight exercise.
And this past weekend, you had a vaccine clinic that was targeting the fishing community?
Yeah, more particularly the seafood processing communities. And there is a heavier concentration in seafood processing of recent immigrants and in the fishing industry. And it's really in seafood processing where the risks are greatest because of language barriers and cultural barriers, but also and the nature of the workplaces in the seafood processing industry, it's not uncommon to have production lines where folks are working cheek by jowl. They're right up against one another. And so we understand that there is serious risk there to the individuals who are working on those lines, but also their families. And frankly, the supply of seafood in the United States, a lot of America's seafood comes through New Bedford. And so we take seriously our responsibility to keep that supply chain moving. So among other steps that we've taken recently is to set up a clinic right in the middle of our northern waterfront, you know, to vaccinate folks who work in the seafood processing industry. So it was important to set it up in a way that was language appropriate, because we had folks who spoke, you know, not only English and Spanish, but also Mayan Quiche, which is the language of many of the Guatemalan, ethnically Guatemalan workers in the plants. We did a considerable amount of outreach to employers, and this is key. So one of the big barriers to vaccine uptake, not just here in New Bedford, but everywhere, is the fact that the shift workers just have a harder time, for reasons that everybody can understand, getting away from work and going to a vaccine appointment. If you're a professional, if you're a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant, it's no matter just to go break away from your work for an hour to go get your shot. But if you're on a shift and you are, you know, like many shift workers, given two specified periods of the day to take a break, you can't readily get away to get a shot. And so that, to my mind, remains a real barrier to the acceptance of vaccines. It's not, you know, for a lot of folks, it isn't sort of a philosophical aversion to the vaccine or concerns about its safety necessarily. It's just a matter of, it is a matter of convenience. And so what we did to address that is we went right to many of the major employers on the waterfront and said to them, look, you know, we're going to set this thing up, but we need you to get your folks over there. And I'd submit that there is an ethical obligation for them to do that, but it's also good for business, you know, to have a healthy workforce. And we had a lot of success. So we started it up on this past Saturday, and we had 1,100 people go through, and the vast majority of them were New Bedford residents who work on the waterfront. And, you know, I went over there myself and heard mostly Spanish in the air, which was music to my ears, because it suggested that our efforts were working.
We got to ask you, we just found out today that the Massachusetts Department of Public Health is going to be pausing the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Is that the vaccine that's being used in these clinics? And do you have a sense of how that's going to affect things?
It makes sense to pause and to figure out whether there's any issue there. So we have followed suit, and we have paused our use of the J&J vaccine here. The J&J vaccine was administered this weekend at the waterfront site. We do think it's very unlikely, highly unlikely, that folks will get sick from the J&J vaccine just based on current data. But you know, we will remain in pause mode until the CDC says that it's fine to proceed.
So for the time being, are you having to pause the clinics?
No, we'll just use Moderna and Pfizer as the supplies allow us. So what it does, what it will do, in effect, here in New Bedford and really everywhere in America, is slow the uptake of vaccines. Not, frankly, in my view, not just the J&J vaccine, but all of them, right? Because for those who have some reluctance to take any vaccines, what's happening now with J&J may seem as a validation of their concerns, so, which is unfortunate. But if you have an appointment, stick with it, and we want to continue to vaccinate as many people as supply allows.
Mayor Mitchell, it's been great speaking with you. Let's check in again in the summer and see how you all are doing. We appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Ron.
That's John Mitchell. He's the mayor of New Bedford. Thanks for listening to In It Together, the podcast from WGBH News in Boston. You can check out full episodes on 89.7 FM if you're in the Boston area, or you can stream online at wgbhnews.org. You can find past episodes there as well. Our show is produced by Amanda Belan. Our technical director is Bill Piacitelli. All music is written and produced by Elio DeLuca. See you tomorrow, and remember, we're all in this together.